Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss with us, a great opportunity right now. The lines are wide open, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Over the last several days and weeks, we've had some very interesting questions about how to overcome sin, how to overcome lust, how to stop doing X. And, you know, we've had several different words that would fill in for X.
Yeah.
But here's the question of the day. How do we say no to sin and yes to Jesus? How do we rise above the temptations of this world? How do we rise above the desires of the flesh and to begin to walk in the newness of life? Now, many people have answered that question by saying we need to follow the rules and the regulations. It's all about having a standard and trying to live up to that standard. Well, everybody that tries that falls flat on their faces. It seems like more sin comes out of that method than what they're trying to produce. Well, here's what the Word of God has to say in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says this, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." So we have a teacher, we have a trainer that God has given us. It is the very grace of God that it is manifested in the person of the Holy Spirit who is alive, living in us. So laws aren't going to train us to say no to ungodliness, but the grace of God will.
Yeah.
So if we're going to be set free, if we're going to experience victory and freedom in our lives and really enjoy a relationship with Christ at its highest and fullest level, then it's the grace of God that's going to be the engine that makes that happen. Nothing else will do. Nothing else can train us to say no to sin. And this is such an important point that I think is lacking out there in the Christian world. And I think if people will embrace it, we'll see a lot of victory out there in people's lives, won't we, guys?
Yeah, you know, you think about the source of these thoughts. You know, that has meant the world to me. We talk about the grace of God equipping us, the grace of God teaching us, the new covenant being our way forward, you know, the Holy Spirit advising us, counseling us. And then we have to ask, well, what is he saying? And I think that one of the things he's saying is, remember, you're dead to those thoughts. When those thoughts come down the hallway of your mind, whether they are lustful thoughts or covetous thoughts or critical thoughts or whatever they might be, one of the big revelations that any Christian can have is, you know, those thoughts don't actually come from me. They don't come from my heart. They don't come from my spirit. They certainly don't come from Christ. They don't come from the new creation that he has made me. So I'm not saying no to myself. I think that's a big misconception in the Christian world that, you know, when we say no to sin, that somehow we're denying ourselves, saying no to ourselves. You know, we are just these dirty, lustful people that we've got to push down in order to serve God. And that's not the truth. The truth is, though you used to be slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart. So that tells you what kind of heart you have. You know, I've taken out your heart of stone. I've given you a new heart and a new spirit and put my spirit within you. So when I understand my identity, part of that is these thoughts don't come from me. So they may feel familiar. They may sound familiar. They may be very much habits in my thinking, in my mindset. I may have habitually been addicted to these thoughts and reactions. But I can choose. I can choose today to say, this is not of me. This is not from me. This is not best for me. I am dead to this thought. God, I am alive to you. Holy Spirit, teach me a new way to think, a new attitude for this situation. And when I do that, I'm recognizing my new identity in Christ, and I'm doing what the Bible calls counting myself dead to sin and alive to God. To me, you know, that is an extremely helpful truth, and I believe that's what the Spirit of God is doing when he says he bears witness with our spirit that we are his children. Well, if we're his children, then we're not made for sin. We're dead to it, and we're alive to God's ways.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's a perfect example, Andrew, of how the grace of God teaches us to say no to sin. This is something that is ongoing in our lives. And so our question for the day for our listeners is, how has the grace of God taught you to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ? In other words, how has Titus 2:11 been fulfilled in your life? How have you seen that practically working in your relationship with Christ Jesus? So if you have a testimony, a story, a situation that you would like to share, we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast of Basic Gospel. Also, you may be struggling. There may be a sin that you haven't been able to overcome. And it's you're struggling because you've identified yourself with that sin. And the harder you try to break free, the tighter the grip of sin gets in your life. So let's talk about that as well, because there is an answer. There is a way out. And as Paul said in Titus 2:11, it is the grace of God, this grace of God that has been poured out in Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. So let's talk about how to be victorious in our day-to-day lives.
You can join the conversation right now, friends, at 844-322-2742 in Canada and the U.S., 844-322-2742. Friends, note that when Jesus was near the end of his time on earth, he spoke to the Father about those, the believers, who he had been given by the Father. But he also spoke of those whom he said, who will believe in me through their word, meaning those who would come after his time because of their testimony. So here we are, 2,000 years later, and it is you and us here at Basic Gospel, who are among those carrying forth this gospel message. But there are so many others who will believe the truth if we can just get the word to them. And with your help, friends, we'll be able to do that. That's why we're asking you to step up and help Basic Gospel get across and beyond our budgeted needs by the end of our fiscal year. Others, many of whom Jesus was speaking, need to hear the truth of the gospel. Please click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742 and help us not only reach but run far beyond our fiscal year-end needs. Only 11 days remain, friends, and we still have a good way to go just to hold the ground that God has given us. So let's go above and beyond. Again, donate at basicgospel.net or at 844-322-2742. In Canada, donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Otherwise, you can donate through PayPal or by physical mail. You can send a check to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can always find that address on the website at basicgospel.net. And friends, as you consider your gift, remember that many of those whom Jesus spoke of 2,000 years ago and whom he said would come later are among those that we hope to reach today. And with your help, we can do that.
Well, thanks, Bob. A special shout out to two people on our staff, Greg Park, who is celebrating a birthday today, and Stephen Simon, happy who celebrated birthday. A birthday yesterday.
To
so
y'all.
Happy birthday happy to birthday. Two of the finest gentlemen that I know, and so grateful to work with them and to share in this wonderful ministry together. They are so valuable to all that happens at Basic Gospel, and we just couldn't do what we do without them.
Absolutely.
And they really keep this thing moving forward. Yeah. So happy birthday to Greg and to Steve. We have some calls on the line. We're going to go first to our friend Mary Jo in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. Years ago, I heard you say this, Bob Christopher, that the best identity to have is being a child of God other than the saint or his bride. And I kind of thought, looks like it'd be his bride because the bride is so special. Is it a different type of bride in the Bible?
Well, Mary Jo, individually, we're children of God. Corporately, as the body of Christ, we're the bride of Christ. And both are pretty spectacular identities. And both are derived from our relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So he's bestowed upon us something that we could never earn through human effort. And that's why I say it's, you know, being a child of God is the best identity, because God has just taken us out of our pit of darkness and despair and spiritual death, has lifted us up out of that, has placed us into the kingdom of light, and has given us a new identity called child of God, which reflects the fact that we are new on the inside. That's not just a label we wear on the lapel of our coats. That's a name that he gives us because we've been born again into the family of God. And we can work for all kinds of identities out there, and we see people doing that out there in the world. People are desperately trying to figure out who they are. And, you know, every identity that the world can tag you with, that's temporary. It's fleeting. It changes. It goes up and down. But this identity that we have in Christ as children of God is just unshakable, unchangeable. That is going to be our identity forever. Richard, yeah. Andrew, you guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's kind of like asking, would you rather be holy or blameless or righteous? And in the end, the answer is yes. You know, we don't have to pick. And so we are the bride of Christ together corporately, and then we're also holy, and we're also blameless, and we're also righteous, and we're also God's children and born of God and born of the Spirit. And there's so many, you know, it's kind of like the three blind men who were trying to describe the elephant, and they're each describing a different aspect, and it's the same elephant. So, you know, there's scripture upon scripture trying to convey this incredible relationship we have. I mean, how do you tell a group of human beings that they're one spirit with Christ? How do you tell people like us that we're united with Jesus? How do you tell people that they're perfectly clean and perfectly close with God because of Jesus? You're not going to just tell them one way. You've got to tell them 5 ways and 50 ways. And, you know, we're like sheep. We're not that bright sometimes. We don't take it in on the first pass. We need a second and a third and a fifth. And that's why the scriptures are so rich and so deep. And, you know, today we're talking about how the grace of God teaches us. And you think about the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is soft, I like to say, whether it's gentleness and kindness and love and goodness, patience. These things, they're all very soft. They're not hard-nosed. They're not legalistic notions. They're not militant. They're soft. And so for us to get there, we have to find the love of God and fix our eyes on the love of God. So I think God spells his love in so many dozens of ways, hundreds of ways throughout the scriptures, in order to meet your needs, Mary Jo, and in order to meet our needs, you know, whether a person out there is a man or a woman or a child, you know, God is going to meet our needs in different ways. And the way that he tells us he loves us, you know, somebody might latch on to that blamelessness. Somebody else might latch on to the idea that they're fully accepted with no strings attached. Somebody else might crave just hearing that they're God's child, born of above, because perhaps their upbringing wasn't what it, you know, what they wanted. They didn't have their expectations met on this earth. So God is in the business of meeting our needs and spelling love in so many ways. And when we take that in, we get softened on the inside. And I think as we trust the Lord from there, the result is the fruit of the Spirit, something that law can never produce anyway.
Yeah. Well, Mary Jo, you're a child of God, and that's great news. And together we're the bride of Christ, and that's our identity forever. And you keep resting in that good news, and we always love to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks, Mary Jo. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Plenty of calls on the screen, so we'll just keep it going.
Yes, we will. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Terry listening to us on The Word. Hi, Terry.
Hi. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Oh, well, really, I guess I became a Christian 4 years ago, and I know that by the grace of God, I totally understand that I've been saved. So prior life was hitting the bars and just hanging out with the wrong people and just trying to get affirmation in the wrong ways, and just knowing that Christ loves me, I'm a child of God, has turned my whole life around, and full of convictions as far as not wanting to do anything that I know is a sin. And so I'm always holding myself accountable to, if I want to do, you know, want to stray or whatever, it's like, no, I have to think about what Jesus did on the cross for me. So it's been a great, it hasn't been easy though. I mean, it's not easy, but at the same time, it's, what is that, running the race and keeping, yeah, and keep on going and being joyful and in whatever circumstance you're in, no matter what. And so Paul's my hero.
Yeah. Well, Terry, thank you for sharing, yes, that. And okay, you know, we're all in this journey. I love what Peter said. You know, we've spent enough time in the past and drunkenness and all of those things of the world. And now that we've come to Christ, we have the Spirit of God living in us. And Terry, I think what you're experiencing is that you're realizing that as a new creature in Christ, you don't belong in those bars anymore. You don't belong in those places that you used to go to find affirmation. You have your affirmation in Christ Jesus. And I think the Holy Spirit is just working in you in a powerful way, teaching you to say no, exactly as this verse says. So thank you for sharing that, Terry.
Yes, indeed.
Can I ask a question, sir? You know, like before, I wasn't afraid, like I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'm going, but I'm confused on a part of Revelation 2:10, where it says, don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer, about the devil throwing the tests. Afflictions for 10 days. Is that like everyone? Is that what's going to happen to everyone?
So you said Revelation 2:10?
Yes, one of the churches.
2:10, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a message to the church in Smyrna. Okay. So he was writing to seven churches that were in Turkey at the time. None of them exist today. They've all gone by the wayside. And he was giving specific information to each and every church and calling them back to the simplicity of devotion unto Christ Jesus. So these were specific messages. Richard, give us some insight into this.
Well, there's many ways to look at this, but the first way is the literal way. Literally, he wrote to these seven churches. One of the other ways is that you can somehow think of these churches as types of believers or types of the overall church. And when you see that, then it's, if the shoe fits, wear it. It's not a prescription for how you're supposed to behave. It's a description of the kinds of things we will see in our Christian walk. And so, in this case, he's talking about people who are in a tribulation. They are actually suffering for their faith. And we know that around the world at any given time, there are thousands and thousands of people who suffer for their faith. And he's promising them that he is with them. He sees that suffering. God isn't sending suffering to these people so that they will suffer and be tested and I knew you weren't faithful. It's not that kind of thing at all.
Okay.
This is what the world system and Satan want to do. Trust Jesus, you know, be faithful even unto death. You've already got this crown of life. I'll just give it to you when you get here. You know, it's there's nothing to fear here. Jesus is in charge. He is victorious. And, you know, like you said, you're not afraid of death. All of us are afraid of dying. That it's the process that we worry about. Take your eyes off the process, fix them on Jesus, and he will take you through whatever it is you need to go through.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Hey, thanks for your call. Bye-bye. We sure appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Clinton Township in Michigan to John, listening to us on WMUZ. Hi, John.
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
Well, doing fantastic. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay. I went through a bad divorce back in 2009. I won't go into that whole story because I want to get to the point, and I know other people are waiting. I've been celibate ever since. I fell once briefly, and then, you know, but most of the time, actually all of the time, except for, like I said, a very short time. But I was talking to this gentleman the other day, and there's a girl that I know where I play pool at, and we're going on like a date because, you know, she's asked me to do something with her a couple times, but he's trying to tell me that he's encouraging me to have sex with this woman and saying that Christ sanctifies even that.
Well, and, I don't think you have a very good friend.
Yeah, that's not a friend at all.
Well, I mean, I've read the Bible twice, and everything that I know, I just kind of wanted to see what scriptures you might be able to give me off the top of your head. And then I did want your opinion, of course, at the same time.
Yeah.
But,
well, John, you know, I mean, the Bible
nowadays, you know, that even wants, that even would be willing to date and not have sex till the wedding night if I were to get remarried.
Yeah, John, the, you know, the passage of scripture that would probably be real helpful to you at this time, and especially dialoguing with your friend, is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 there. It says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Of course, we're not saying that you as a child of God are going to undergo some sort of judgment where you end up guilty and punished. But the point is that, you know, that sort of living is of the world. That sort of living and that sort of lifestyle is of the sexually immoral who don't know Christ. And in your case, because you do know Christ, well, you know, you can look through the New Testament and you find this passage, for example, honoring the marriage bed, keeping it pure, and then you recognize that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit and that you've been set apart. So,
are you sinning against the Holy Spirit if are you sinning directly against the Holy Spirit if you do have sex outside of marriage as a Christian?
Well, any time that we don't listen to what the Holy Spirit is counseling us to do, you know, that's a sin. And now, you know, Jesus Christ has taken away our sins. We're forgiven, but that doesn't make it any healthier to do. It doesn't make it any healthier to engage in. So, you know, all sin is the same. We don't have seven levels of sin or, oh, these are the super strict or serious sins. I mean, no sin is good for you. And I think that if you develop an unhealthy connection with this woman that goes too far ahead of where you are at in your relationship with her, that you can expect God's Spirit to be counseling you away from that, guiding you away from that, and giving you pretty clear instruction. So I think that instruction begins now. And you can be sound-minded about it, say no to sin, develop a healthy relationship with a believing woman, and you'll be glad you did.
John, we're almost out of time.
May I ask one more question?
Well, we're almost out of time. Let me put you on hold, and I'll send you some information that I think will be really helpful to you, okay?
Yeah, thanks, John. Hold on.
Thanks, John.
Friends, of course, you know that Basic Gospel is listener-supported, and we need your help to keep this New Covenant message going out over the air and online. Only 11 days remain in our fiscal year, and many of those whom Jesus spoke of, those who would come to believe later, are among those we need to get this gospel message to today. Please help us. Please join with us as a partner at Basic Gospel. You can donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. You can mail a check to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can also give through the Basic Gospel app or through PayPal. Canadian listeners, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Remember also, friends, that if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss at Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742 is available anytime you choose to call. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the same time. We will be. I hope you will be too. Bye-bye.